flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Green Tree Tavern in Leesburg, Grant and Danny live on the Fan. We are brought to you by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murrah.
As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. As an exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murrah can help you update your last will and testament or set up revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Can't help but notice that on NFL Network right now, on the big screen to our left,
oh, yes,
we got lots of TVs right in our view here. Very cool bar.
That is nice.
Out at Green Tree Tavern in Leesburg, where we'll be until 6:30. They are re-airing Super Bowl 57, I think, Chiefs-Eagles. This is the rematch that we're getting this weekend. I'm watching Andy Reid with his IHOP menu getting ready to call a play here. We get to see this and run this one back one more time. You know, for all of the talk and the hand-wringing about Major League Baseball's lack of parity, and don't get me wrong, the fact that every single player signs with the Dodgers is annoying. But if you look at the LCS, if you look at the World Series, baseball actually has more winners, more LCS participants, so the equivalent of the conference championship game, than the NFL, which is actually way more predictable at that level, that the Chiefs are just going to be there. It's not quite the NBA where, you know, in LeBron's prime, if you had LeBron,
you're going to play to the conference championship.
In the conference final. But it's kind of what it's like for Mahomes now. 7 straight years they've been there, 5 of 6 Super Bowls. The NFL's all about parity from a division standpoint. Major League Baseball, less so. The Dodgers are going to win the West almost every year. But in terms of actually winning a championship or getting to the Final Four, you can make the case that the NFL has the biggest issue of anybody.
It's interesting because the NFL would come back with the turnover every year for playoffs and not playoffs beats anybody else. Right? We're the best at that. Teams that were good are not good. Teams that were bad get good.
There is a lack of predictability in that regard.
Yeah, teams that are 4-13 win 12 games the next year, see Washington. You know, the teams go from worst to first in the dumb AFC South all the time, and you can pick your division. For baseball, I think there's 3 or 4 years where the Yankees haven't made the playoffs in the last 30. There's no parity there.
But they also have won one World Series since 1996. So it's kind of one of these, like, what really matters? The Mets outspend everyone, and everyone says it's unfair because Steve Cohen is ruining, like, the expectation of owner spending, yeah? What have they got to show for it? Zippy.
That's right.
They've been to the playoffs. They've been on a couple of runs. They haven't won yet. Even the Dodgers just won their first championship that actually is authentic, respectfully, to the 2020 pandemic year with 60 games and playoff games at neutral sites, you know, where there were no fans in certain ballparks. You take that year out, which I think is kind of a fraudulent overall exercise. They've won titles since the late 80s when I was born. So, yeah, the spending guarantees that you're good, helps you to win divisions, but it gets you nothing in the grand scheme of the tournament. So you actually have a really good point, though. It's like, what matters? Is it just my team might make the playoffs, or my team could actually win a championship?
Yeah, and so it all depends on your perspective, right? In terms of parity, you're right. For people that complain about the NBA, and that's this aside complaint from my complaints this year, or this last couple years, but they go, there's, you know, it's nothing but dynasties. Yeah, but you look at, you know, the fact is there have been more championship winners in the NBA than there have been in a lot of other sports, right? When you think about the Bucks getting one, the Raptors getting one, and, you know, the Miami Heat getting one or two, and the Mavericks. So, like, there's enough parity in that regard, but it just, when a team in baseball that I'm just picking on, you wake up every, I couldn't even tell you every player on the Yankees roster right now. They're winning 96 games this year. That to me defeats some of the purpose of kind of having the up and down. The same way, by the way, I could say, I don't know who the second cornerback is in Kansas City for the start of next year. They'll be in the AFC title game again if Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid are upright and ticking.
Fair. I just look at the final result, which is that
the Eagles will
be in a third Super Bowl in, I think, 8 years, and the Chiefs will be in a fifth in 6 years. And that tells you a lot. Whereas the Yankees have played for the World Series this past season, and before that, not since 2009. And before that, not since 2000. So, yeah, it raises your floor, to be clear, when your payroll is massive and you have all the talent. But it guarantees you almost nothing from a title standpoint. Let's get back, though, to the topic at hand. A lot of people want to weigh in. We've been talking about the story that came out this week that the Commanders are going to be changing their uniforms. I'd mentioned that, you know, we've heard a lot about this, members of our staff, myself, over the last several months, that there is an attempt and an effort to go back to the uniforms of the Joe Gibbs 1.0 Super Bowl days that look a lot more like what the Redskins wore. Now, I keep saying this. I think it's common sense, but I think it still needs to be said. There's going to be no R. There's going to be no logo with the old helmet and the feather. And
right.
That's all gone. But we're talking about the colors of those uniforms with now the Block W replacing the old logo. You and I are both all in on that.
100%. As much as you can do for me, and I know that's the selfish viewpoint, but I'm basically talking about fans of my age, a little bit younger, but mostly older, that reminds us of when it was good. Because one of my main objections with the dumb name now is this was a group of tourists that aren't here anymore, and Snyder gave me that gift. No. When I see the colors, I think of Snyder and ineptitude. No. When I think of anything that's over the last couple of years, handful of seasons, that reminds me of that 2-2-22 Shabingus, I want out immediately. I want to escape that room and not come back. So the more you can do to say, reminder, we're not this, we're the good thing, do that.
Let me ask you this. I wonder if I'm right about this. So my point is that I think young people, kids that are fans of this team, so anyone in the, I'm going to say, like, you know, 4 to 15 range or whatever. They don't really, yes, him right there in the blue hood.
That guy right there.
They don't really care that much that they change the colors. They don't care that they're not wearing the old uniform. They probably like the black jersey, right? They like a lot of the old kit, or rather the new kits that they wear. And my point is, if you were to change and go back to the Joe Gibbs colors and look, while I think you do a lot of good with older fans that are here wearing Redskins stuff right now, and you and I own that stuff and wear that stuff, I don't think the young people are going to be bothered by that. You still have Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, they're not wedged anything
right?
yet.
Is Terry McLaurin still running routes? Now, I would still keep the black jerseys that are wildly popular as like a once a year, twice a year thing, just to give them, you know, throw them that bone, so to speak. But I mean, are they going to be? Is he going to be bothered by the old gear? I don't think there's like an affinity to. Oh, you can't change my look. As in a 12-year-old fan of this team, do you agree with me on that?
I do. I'm 100% with you. So the reason that someone who's grown up and loves something and it's been with me for decades, when you change that for reasons that I may or may not understand, that's not fun. But if I had no, if I wasn't wed to it, if they changed something in 1985 when I was 6 years old, I kind of wouldn't know the difference. You know, if they changed something in 1990 after dropping a couple playoff games over the previous several seasons, and then the Giants have gone to win the Super Bowl that year. Okay, there's no longer piping on the sleeves. It's now just one solid color. All right, I guess that's fine. But I've got all the memories. I've got all the lifetime of thing. And then when it changes and the everything new is associated with bad, oh, my God. Yeah. what a stark contrast. So now if you're tweaking something, I don't think that anybody that's that young has gone through the – I mean, it basically took this 10, 12, really 13-year run of unparalleled excellence. The 49ers won, Washington two, that made this whole generation, me and a little bit older, of fans for life, that it's in your blood. There's no, you know, you can't do enough for us.
Yeah, one, you know, 14 what I mean? Win season where you kind of stubbed your toe and accidentally got to the NFC title game doesn't equate
right.
The 15 years, which I get. Someone on Twitter here, D, says, why can't we just go back to the old uniforms from Washington football team and just replace Washington or Redskins that was on the jersey with Commanders? To me, I don't understand why that wasn't what they did when they went to Commanders. Because remember, the Washington football team gear was the exact same colors, like nothing changed in the way that it did when they went to Commanders. They put the number on the helmet. That was the big difference because the logo had to go away and they didn't have a logo because they didn't have a team name.
Mm-hmm.
So they just... You know, for Terry McLaurin, it was just a gold or really a yellow 17 on a burgundy helmet. I think you need a logo. Now you have one. Why can't you go back to that? To me, that would be a nice bare minimum move that would be probably not take a whole lot. Again, all of this has to be approved by the league and does take time. Let's go to Quinn, who's in Rockville on line four on Grant and Danny. What's up, Quinn? How are you?
Hi, Dave and Granny. How are you on what's the local team wear day?
Dive.
Fashion talk day.
Indulge me, guys, here. A few points, but I'll make them quickly. First of all, my 22-year-old son, who's been a fan all his life, is being rewarded now. So there's a young person who's a fan of the team, and we call them Redskins. I've never stopped calling them that, and I think if people want to call them that, they should just call them that. They're not going to change the name, but I can't stand the name like Danny. I can't say it, so that's that. One thing that concerns me about all of this, I know the NFL has always had a rule. If you change your uniform significantly, you have to keep them for 5 years. They can tweak them, like they put the yellow pants on this year. That was an improvement, but not enough for me. I'm fine with going back to the circa 91 uniforms, but I would really love to see them go back to the 60s. I think it's the most beautiful thing they wore. It was actual dried blood burgundy and actual gold, like you dig out of the ground. Everything else is red and yellow to me. So that's what I would really like to see.
I smell what you're cooking there. So in terms of that rule, and I appreciate the phone call, we've asked folks about that, GP, over the years, and here's my understanding. In general, that's the rule. I don't know how hard and fast that rule is because you got to start writing down permission and a new ownership group coming in that would like to make a change like that and the reasons for it. I think you could get permission. That our understanding was, and again, I don't want to speak for you, but I'll just say for me, my understanding is that's absolutely the rule. I think there are exceptions to that rule, with some grace and understanding.
Yeah, I think that's true. I also know I was talking to someone recently about this, and they're like, it takes years to make changes and to tweak things and, you know, to get different uniforms approved. My understanding is that they're not starting this process right now, that they were working on this and that it didn't happen before this season, but they are far enough down the road that the expectation is that something is going to be changed by this coming season. Robbie's in Indiana, listening on the Odyssey app. Robbie, what changes are you making to the uniforms?
Guys, I am punting the black ones into the sun or into the ocean, wherever they belong. They do not belong on my favorite football team. They should absolutely go back.
Can I ask you really quick,
Gibbs.
Kanye style? Yeah. I'm going to let you finish, but will you you hate them like Danny hates them.
Correct.
But do you acknowledge, sir, that they are actually beloved by a big faction of the fan base, or is that not something you care about?
If you say so, I live in Indiana, so maybe I don't see a big faction of the fan base.
It's the number
35.
One jersey that they're selling is the black Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, the young people that have poor taste like it.
Hey,
they do.
Look, I'll keep breathing if they keep wearing them. I'll be fine. But
yes.
I'm just saying that, the Gibbs look, the one thing I'll bring up about those is I didn't think that the gold number, and this would be a gold W on the burgundy helmet with the Gibbs uniform, looked very good, because gold is kind of a myth in our look. It's really burgundy and white. Not maroon and black, Jim Zorn. Burgundy and white.
Yeah. And not, to your point, what did he say?
Maroon and black.
Maroon and black was what he said.
So the old maroon and black units.
Which, that's one example. I didn't bring him up, I don't think. But when we were talking about terrible introductory press conferences did actually tell you that someone was going to be bad, because I gave a bunch of examples of, like, the Nick Sirianni's, where you watched what Liam Cohen did and you go, oh, boy, this guy's going to be terrible. Like, Dan Campbell becomes one of the best coaches in the league. There are examples where on the day of the press conference, you had a pretty good idea things weren't going to go great.
This is too much for this gentleman. The responsibilities here that he's going to have to execute are above his ability.
Poor Jim Zorn.
Yeah.
I have no numbers in front of me, so I should acknowledge first that I'm talking out of my tuchus on this. I go to all the games. I'm out and about with fans all the time.
Yep.
I see three of the black jerseys for every one of the white jerseys. Now, I think that the second most popular is probably the burgundy, but I don't see a lot of those either. I see the black Jaden Daniels jersey with that. It's not really gold. It's yellow. But that yellow five, I see it everywhere. After the Hail Mary, which was he was wearing it that day, I had that picture that I posted of, like, the four guys with the tags on walking out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that night was in line buying those black jerseys.
That's right.
They didn't even have them at the end of the year in any of the stores.
You couldn't find them. Yeah.
So I'd like to see numbers on what people were purchasing, but my eyeballs, having just gotten back from Philly, been at a couple of the rallies, they are everywhere, dude.
Yes. Yeah, they are.
That is the seller.
It's one of those, as we were sort of, you know, sort of semi-joking, as the kind of the only downside of this run and how fun it was, is, yeah, it's now the stupid C-word. This is who they are, and that black jersey ain't
C-word
going
has a different meaning now.
Well, you're right. Yeah, it does. I'll think of a better euphemism for it.
Right.
I hate that name so much. But it's here, and that jersey probably shouldn't go anywhere, to be honest with you. Again, as an older fan, I'm going... I echo everything the caller just said. That has nothing to do with my team. That's an Arizona State alternate. That's a Pittsburgh Steelers
but
color. It's so not my thing. But I also am willing to say, even though it's not my thing, people like it.
But don't
and enough
you
people
think,
sold.
I'm going to text my wife this, actually, because she hated the black jerseys. She thinks it's the Steelers. She thinks that's a Steelers jersey. That's not the. I think there's a more positive connotation than there was. I'm not saying people like it.
Oh, definitely there is.
Like, I wonder if her stance has softened or if she still hates it.
Mm.
The people that despised it initially, time, like the name, we've said every name's weird at first.
Yep.
I just think the more you see it, the less jarring it's going to be.
Yeah. Now, I'm great at holding a grudge like that for a really long time, but I'm also a weirdo. I acknowledge that.
800-636-1067. Let's go to Jack in South Riding. I don't think that's very far from us. He could come out to Green Tree Tavern in Leesburg. What's up, Jack? How are you?
Hey, fellas. I'm doing good. I cannot make it, unfortunately.
All good, bro.
My first question would be, I know y'all were talking about this earlier. My first question would be, what do we think about putting a Redskins logo back?
On a helmet. Old logo?
Yeah.
We talked about it. It's just not happening. The league would never approve it.
Okay, and my second question would be, what do we think about, like, a gold kind of Notre Dame-style helmet?
An actual gold helmet.
As the base color. Interesting. So
it doesn't go with any of their – thanks for the call.
Yeah, appreciate you, dude.
It doesn't go with any of the trim because they don't actually wear gold otherwise.
Yeah, so the only gold – I mean, now, Bruce Allen wanted to bring back the mustard pants, and there's some gold in kind of the old-school jerseys before TVs had color. You know what I mean? You couldn't really tell what color they were on.
But that's the one I was talking about with, like, the Griffin and Cousins year.
Right. I think of them as the Spurrier throwbacks, those 2002 year. So, to me, gold has always been the second accent color. And it's on the white jerseys you had the gold, and then in the burgundy jerseys you had a little bit of the gold, but it's the piping on the white pants. It's just an accent thing. As a primary, it just doesn't feel right to me.
Where do you see gold on that? That's, to me, that's...
On this one here?
We call it gold. It's mustard yellow, though.
You're talking this here?
Yeah.
Yeah,
There's no gold on that. Like, to me, gold is what the 49ers wear. With their red.
Yeah.
I mean, we call them the burgundy and gold. It's burgundy and yellow.
It's more. Yeah, it's more. It's probably more yellow than it is straight up gold. But I think it's probably somewhere in between. But the 49ers gold is a more lustery, shiny.
That's what gold is.
Gold is kind of the base. Yeah. So, but having that as the primary color no longer feels like the thing anymore.
But don't you agree with what I'm saying is, so like this, where you're saying this is gold, the old Joe Gibbs one, that's more yellow. If you just have a golden Domer's Notre Dame helmet, that matches nothing.
Right.
You need
that's kind of my point.
A yellow to match that. Like when Jason Campbell and them wore those 75th anniversary, and it was not.
It had the big R on it. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a yellow helmet with the burgundy R and like the yellow jersey. And by the way, those might be my favorite jerseys this team's ever worn ever.
Oh.
I loved those. I had a Chris Cooley and a Santana Moss of those. Those were awesome. I think that was the 75th anniversary jersey at that point. 800-636-1067 is the number. We have not found anyone who doesn't want any changes made, I will say.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That seems
leave them like
pretty
they are.
Telling. Like, hey, the lines are open for anybody who thinks they should just keep what they've got. Those lines are remaining open at this juncture. Grant and Danny out in Leesburg today on The Fan. Live from Leesburg at the Green Tree Tavern. We're Grant and Danny, and you are listening to The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. It means a lot. We've got a big event tonight over at the Tally Ho Theater that's completely sold out, but it's going to be a blast. 106.7 The Fan live on stage. We only do this, I don't know, annually maybe? Once
yeah, annual,
a year or so.
annual. Yeah.
So it brings out a bunch of listeners and just a good chance to hang out with people that we don't get to see other than maybe once in a while at appearances. But I can't wait to get over there. It's going to be fun.
It's a blast, man. These are the kind of cool days, right, where people come by this really awesome place at the Green Tree Tavern, and they're so hospitable, so kind to us, and letting us broadcast from here. And then we'll walk over, and it's a bunch of people that just want to have a good time, want to kick it with the Junks and Beamich and Finley and us to whatever degree as we're playing our small part tonight. These are these kind of like special days that remind you how cool this all is. You know what I mean? This really neat little community that we're sort of part of as broadcasters and people that like consume some of these things here and there.
There's a lot of football items I want to hit today, an actual kind of future convos that need to be had about what Washington needs to address and players they could go after. So we should put a bow on our jersey convo here. Got the double play coming up, but we'll go rapid fire through some calls. The big story in town this week is that the Commanders are going to be changing their jerseys, and we're all wondering what that means. What do you want to see them do differently? Let's go to Max in Waldorf on Grant and Danny. Hey, Max.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Love your show.
Appreciate you.
All right, so sitting in the living room, Hail Mary, trying to win my wife over to become a Redskins fan, trying to explain to her that for as long as they play the NFL, they're going to run that playback. And the thing that struck me at that time, like 10 minutes after, is isn't it a shame that forever Jaden Daniels play, we're going to be out there looking like some broke-ass Pittsburgh Steelers? The biggest disconnect the biggest disconnect that I think that happened when Snyder left was he separated the team from that Native American aesthetic. So I'm one of those guys, if you asked me 20 years ago if the logo and the name was racist, I would have said, yeah, we probably should change it. But we, as fans, owned it. We claimed the Native American aesthetic. So when you change that name and, you know, that last little kick in the nuts and that money grab by Snyder on the way out, it left a bad taste in all of our mouths. So I'm never going to call him the C-word. I'm never going to accept the black jerseys. I just think that we should go back to the 69 arrow with Sonny, call him the Warriors. That way we get our colors and we get that Native American aesthetic back. And I think that's what's missing for the old school fans. Thanks,
so appreciate the call.
Thanks, bud.
It's well thought out. A lot of good points. I don't think that Warriors is on the table in terms of a name change. They obviously went away from the Native American element of all imagery and the name, and he addressed that in his call. But I don't see why they couldn't have the 69 arrow, if that's what we're calling it, because we all know what that means. It's the burgundy background with the white and gold feathers hanging from the arrow, and that's one of the throwbacks I talked about.
That's right, yeah.
That 70th anniversary, that was just fire.
And I'm spitballing on this one, okay? So, but maybe it's anything that could be easily associated where, wink, wink, we know what you're doing.
Of course.
May not be able to fly.
No, that's why it won't happen.
I see.
100% believe. I'm just saying I think that should, like, wherever the line that we're going to draw is, that shouldn't be past the line, in my opinion. I'm watching the Chiefs on TV right now with their arrowhead. You know, and before this game started, 70,000
people chopping,
did the tomahawk chop. So if you're going to get all of that, and that's all fine, I'm not calling them the Redskins, but I can have the spear on my helmet. Like, that should not be a bridge too far. I understand that it's probably not realistic. The closest you might be able to do for a throwback jersey maybe is, you know, an R or something like that. Let's go to Daryl in Ashburn on line two on Grant and Danny. What's up, Daryl? How's it going?
Hey, yeah. Oh, it's got a great show over there.
Appreciate you, bud.
I like the black uniforms. I think they look pretty cool. As far as comparing them to the Steelers, look at the rest of the league. You got New England Patriots, and a few other teams got the red, white, blue. But I really like this, the dark burgundy with Earl. I agree with that. I think they should bring that back because nobody has that color.
I missed the last thing. You said nobody has the burgundy and white?
Nobody has a dog burgundy uniform in the NFL. So I
gotcha.
Like,
yeah. And 100% right. And that was one of the cool things, is that you don't find that anywhere. It was basically like in all of sports, major sports, at the pro and college level, it was USC had a version of it as the Trojans. And, you know, I mean, there's some sort of burnt red or, you know, other kinds of things, but it wasn't that same burgundy, right? And I know USC and Washington's weren't the same, but that was kind of such a unique thing. You see blue and white everywhere. Everybody's blue. Everybody's white. Everyone's somewhere in between. That was such a unique deal that Washington had that, and I want to make sure we hold on to that.
So I'm team go back to when they were winning Super Bowls with Joe Gibbs,
mm-hmm.
which is what we originally heard in the fall was kind of the way they were trying to trend any kind of a uniform tweak, color tweak,
yep.
was back to the early 90s Gibbs days. Someone just sent me a tweet here. Says this should be the uniform, including the helmet. And this is the iconic Sonny Jurgensen era, which is like not the mustard yellow pants, but actual goldish pants with the deep burgundy jersey. But the numbers are all just big white numbers. There's no gold. I would not hate this, by the way. Again, you're paying homage to an era. I don't think that you would be able to do the spear helmet that a lot of us are saying would be cool. Maybe you'd have to have the W on the helmet. But it could be a white W, let's say, as the block W that matches the white number on the burgundy. But at least at that point, you are honoring your past. There is a Redskins heritage element to the kits. You know, that's just short for, I know people get annoyed by soccer terms, but like to your general.
They're playing on the pitch there, guy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like, how many times can I say
yeah.
uniforms?
No, I know, I'm with you, dude.
To the aesthetic. And that to me should be the goal is. I am appealing to the people
yep.
who had something ripped away from them that are annoyed by it in a way that I'm allowed to, in a way that I'm not going to be called awful, unfair names. As best I can, I'm going to try to make those people happy. Let's go to Ryan, who's in Richmond, on Grant and Danny on the Fan. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
What's up, folks? Yo, so I am a traditionalist. I am still calling them the Redskins, and I'll probably call that till the day I die. But, hey, I've moved on. I think for the first time in the past, 30 years, we've been talking about Commander or Redskins football. And I think we need to focus on the football. Forget the jersey name. We can worry about the jersey once we have multiple years of playoff appearances. I think we've got a new face in Jaden Daniels to the game. Let's focus on him, developing him. I mean, you could put a frog and a pink tutu on the helmet. Jaden Daniels isn't going to give a crap about what's on his helmet. He's going to play his game. But I think there's a lot of excitement behind this team. Real fans are not focused on those darn jerseys. And, hey, let's keep winning games.
Let me ask you a question. I think you're making a lot of good points. I want to ask you a question, though. So,
yeah.
For you as a fan, you're saying it really doesn't matter what they wear. Like, I'm fired up that they're winning. Do you think that members of ownership and whoever they hired to deal with the jersey stuff can't do that while the football people are focusing on football? Like, that's the only part I'd push back on is there's nothing being taken away from Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels. They're not sitting there having meetings about the jersey.
Yeah, Tavita Pritchard's not going over what color seams
this is. Josh Harris and Mitch Rails and Mark Eine and some people they're paying $1 million to sit down and talk about this. You can do both at once. Like, there is no waiting. And I would also say the longer you wait, the less necessary it is probably.
You know, I think you can, but I think there's also and not to take away from fans that are maybe less serious football fans and they just like the aesthetic of being a Commanders fan. Hey, I prefer the talk to be about the football. I don't want to hear all the buzz in the NFL about the name, about a potential name change, jersey change. We've been through all that. We're tired of ideologies inside of football. We want to see the sport. That's just my take. But hey,
I get that.
If you change back to the Redskins, I'm cool with that.
So, but your team, to clarify then, you're basically like, I'm on to football, man. Commanders forever. These jerseys forever. Don't care. I'm worried about week one.
You know, I'm not saying I want it forever, but hey, don't change anything right now. We finally found some flat ground to run on. We're playing good football.
Well,
you know,
they can
certainly come up with something, but we know this organization, they make quick changes. Sometimes maybe they don't think about the fan base when they do this. Maybe they need to do a few years of polling, really, especially right now. Let some people get onto this Redskins Commanders bandwagon and then start polling and really figure out what brand they want to create. It's very early on for the Josh Harris ownership team. Hey, wait it out a couple years. Let's enjoy this victorious time and see what the future holds. But let's
appreciate
just chill.
You,
let's
buddy.
Win.
It's a good phone call.
Yeah, good.
So I think that's a great call. Like, every word he said, it all makes sense to me. My only pushback is what I suggested, which is it's like when people call up and they say something like, you know, oh, you guys shouldn't be talking about this as a must win or worrying about next week's game. We got to focus on this week's game. I don't have to. I'm not playing linebacker. The team has to. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, of course.
Like, the people that are in charge of what the uniform looks like and what the name is and that they're working with are not Adam Peters and Lance Newmark.
Yeah, the organization's onboarding a new business president like this week.
Correct.
Right? The guy that came from Campbell Soup, who's got a great background, who by all accounts is a rock star on the business side. He should not be making a single decision about who takes what snap where.
And he won't be.
And he won't be. And that's the point. That's what good organizations do, and they're doing that. So his point, the caller's point, I think it's a great one, by the way, about figuring out what fans want. And it's always hard to really gauge what's a whim, what's a tantrum, what's a real well-thought thing in polling and different data. So all those focus group things and all those different ideas that you would suggest a reasonable organization do to try to figure out, hey, what's best practice? How do we, again, the same theme of make the biggest tent possible, I promise you they're doing that.
Yes,
they're not going to do anything rushed and on a whim. This is not a, okay, this is it, which way the wind's blowing. Let me just do that wild and a huge fluctuation or a huge swing of the pendulum the other direction. This is a thoughtful group that will remain so.
Yeah, they are and have been doing that. They're not doing a YouTube show about it. You know, they're actually doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're doing it without it being about a clip that we all get to watch where Jason Wright is showing logos to Ron Rivera. Like, they're doing it in an authentic, legitimate way. I also don't know how much of that I need, honestly.
Yeah, I'm good on that, by the way.
I don't even mean the shows. I mean, I think I'm over the polling. I don't – Like, get some people around you with some intrinsic knowledge of the history,
yep.
and a small group can make a big decision. I don't need – no 10 people can – anything, let alone polling tens of thousands or millions of people. I'm sorry. We did that. We did multiple years of let's talk to everybody, let's see. And what we got was everyone hating it because you tried to make too many people happy. Get a few people together that understand the history of this thing and what people care about, smart people in a room, and knock it out. Like, let's not make it harder than it has to be. Last time was a two-plus year deal that led up to 2222. How'd that work out?
Yeah, don't do that again. Whatever that is, don't do that.
But the other part is we got the team playing well, so let's just enjoy this for a couple of years. I think now is kind of what, like, this takes years. So if you want a new jersey that you're going to wear, theoretically, it's a multi-year process with the league. So if you wait a couple of years, now you're talking about 5, 6, 7 years down the road. I don't know. To me, I don't know why you, if you're agreeing or people are acknowledging, hey, it'd be nice to do something a little different. Why wait? Bobby Alexandria, what's good?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
So, we live in a great nation. You know what I mean? USA is immigrants, everything like that. I'm thinking maybe they should be the Washington Nation, and then you could on your helmet put an Irish shamrock on there, or you could put Martin Luther King on there. You could put a Native American on there, for certain little things. I love the old uniforms. 91, that's true. But everybody's trying to be politically correct, but you can cover the whole thing. But I think your helmet, if you're going to call it the nation, should be a U.S. map on the helmet. That's the first one. And then just figure
Thank
it out
you,
from
buddy.
There.
Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, I don't know. We did that for a long time. When what should the name be? And I sort of, everybody has an idea on it, and one out of every 15 people tells me about a potato. No, thank you. That's kind of not the discussion. If we get to that point, by the way, where they open it up, like the Utah hockey people are going, we're going to be the Wasatchi or the Wasak or the Wakasba, and then they realize that name's so stupid that they just replace it at the last second with Outlaws. Maybe that's the whole deal. I don't know. If we get there again, we can do that, but that's kind of not on the table at the moment. We're sort of just talking about some uniform tweaks here.
And to go full Obama on you, let me be clear.
Where do your daughters go to school, Mr. President?
Sidwell Front. Let me be clear. What we're not doing right now is that game again. The, hey, let's call them this and put this on the helmet. Although I should tell you, I don't think I mentioned this, Christmas this year. So December, 1 month ago.
A little over a month ago, yeah.
It's like 35 days ago.
Sure,
or whatever.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I was there.
A cousin of the wife's said to me,
oh, dear.
And I'm not doing a bit.
Oh,
she's
no.
like, you know what they should have just done?
Oh, no.
And I was like, huh? And she goes, they should have just put a potato
just
on that.
Just put a potato on the side.
And then called him the Redskins.
Oh,
you
no.
You could just keep it. And it's because it's a potato.
And I love
oh,
this person.
No.
She's so great. And so it was one of those where I'm like, yeah, they definitely could have.
They could have.
I didn't let her know that I've taken 800 calls like that over the years.
Did it hurt when you fell down a couple of pegs?
It was tough.
That's not great.
That was tough.
That's
oh,
great.
No.
Thank you, Frank.
Double play is
Miss you, buddy.
We are blitzing at the top of the hour on Grant and Danny. Caps, Wizards, Commanders, all in one segment today. Should be good. Remember, we got our big show, Tally Ho Theater, tonight. We're out in Leesburg at Green Tree Tavern. So come on by and pregame with us on The Fan. Welcome back to the Green Tree Tavern, live on Grant and Danny. We're in Leesburg. We'll be here until 6:30 today. Tally Ho Theater tonight. It's a full day of your pals if you're coming out to the event with the Junkies, with B. Mitch and Finley, with myself and Danny. It's going to be a big 106.7 The Fan takeover of Leesburg tonight. Packed house, sold out, should be a good time. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven by your local Washington area Honda dealer, stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
By now, I'm not breaking any news on this one. I'm sure everyone's heard that. You know, this kind of thing. You know, the whole, you know, Matt Stafford and Clayton Kershaw were high school teammates. You know, the thing that everybody's heard a million times. So everyone's heard this, but I didn't really actually consider what it meant until I read this, Chiefs. Pat Riley, years ago, trademarked the term three-peat. Did you know that?
I am aware of that based on recent news.
Yes. So what the story, as I read, and somebody, you know, who was in the locker room could tell me differently, but apparently Byron Scott, longtime NBA two guard, and then coach subsequently, really good player on those Showtime Lakers teams, mentioned that they were trying to do that, that he coined the term three-peat. And Pat Riley said, ooh, that's pretty smart. That's pretty catchy. I like that. So he, you know, anything that was of or pertaining to a three-peat, you know, three-peat spelled correctly, three-peat spelled incorrectly. It's like someone who squats on a website domain, right? And so anybody who wants to print merchandise or do something that reflects a three-peat, think the Bulls two different times, think the Warriors doing it, think, you know, football team, etc., they got to pay a little bit of a fee to old Pat Riley. And so what I read was around 5% is what he usually is entitled to of any merch that says, so let's say you and I, Grant and Danny, three-peat, we sell it, we owe Pat Riley 5% of the proceeds, right? Give or take. So he's made some millions over the years, not crazy amounts of money, obviously like more than you and I will ever see, but made a lot of money over these years. So apparently, somebody estimated, I don't know if these estimates are true or not, but someone estimated, somebody really smart said, they think billions of dollars will be spent on Kansas City Chiefs merch of or pertaining to three-peats. Pat Riley could make as much as $200 million.
200?
$180 to $200 million is the kind of given range that someone's talking about. So in years past, like when the Bulls did it, he made like $1 million adjusted for inflation and different times. It's like $3.2 million. He could make hundreds of millions of dollars if the Chiefs win and if this person's estimates were correct. What a shrewd, ridiculous investment that was to go, I'm gonna trademark three-peat and pay a little bit up front so that in case anybody ever prints a shirt that says three-peat on it, I get a percentage.
Does he get credit for foresight and being brilliant? Or I feel like he just kind of luck-boxed into this one.
It's both.
Like, I don't think he really thought, I'm going to make a lot of money in the future on this. I think he goes, oh, that's a cool term. We're the first ones to do it. I'm going to have this term forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Like, respectfully to him, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't think he had vision on this. I think he just kind of had the money, had the wherewithal, made the decision, kind of stuck his flag in the ground because they were the first ones to Plymouth Rock, and he's just going to benefit immensely from it.
So I think he always knew there'd be something to it because he's really smart and he's really good at business and good at pretty much everything. He's kind of the godfather. That's sort of his deal. I don't think he ever thought, you know, I'll sit back as the big boss at the Heat and make a couple hundred million bucks just for this really fun decision I made in 1989.
It's time for my double play. Got to see Den of Thieves 2. I told you I was a big Den of Thieves 1 guy.
You're Den of Thieves guy, yeah.
This movie was 2 hours and 24 minutes. I think it probably should have been about an hour and 59 minutes. I liked it as far as action movies go, though. We had twists. We had turns. We had great suspense scenes. We had chases. Everything you've ever wanted in an action film, we got. I like O'Shea Jackson Jr., Ice Cube's kid. I like Gerard Butler, who plays like a down-in-his-luck guy who's divorced and bad to his wife and just a terrible dude, but trying to figure out, am I a good cop? Am I a bad cop? Good flick, man. The first iteration of this film was really good, but then at the end, spoiler alert, most of the bad guys get killed in a shootout.
Oh.
So I'm going, well, now what? All the guys that I liked, all the characters that I knew in this movie are gone. O'Shea Jackson's back. Gerard Butler's back in a whole new cast. But it was really well done as far as, like I said, it's one of those movies where the popcorn score of just going there as a consumer and watching it is going to be a lot higher than the critic who's going, I didn't like this plot point. It's just an action movie for a couple hours.
Right. There needs to be some sort of critic adjustment.
Yeah.
There never is. Like, I understand this is not Oscar bait. I know it's not going to be like a soulful single tear of someone looking out at like a rainy cityscape with like weird emo music playing. I fully get that. I'm here for a bubblegum and popcorn flick, to your point.
That's all I wanted.
Yeah, there needs to be some sort of rating adjustment.
Thoroughly
they never do
got
that.
What I wanted and enjoyed myself and can't wait to watch it again when I stumble into it on a network on a Saturday afternoon a couple of months from now when it's out and about and out of the theaters. But, yeah, if you're looking for just a quick action movie with some suspense, go eat some popcorn. This one will be fun. I think I can say that with some conviction. All right, next, our Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny, and then in the 4 o'clock hour, we talked a lot about uniforms. You know, we're big fashion guys.
Yes, very fashionable guys.
You and I. Mm-hmm. I actually want to get into some matters of sports on this here radio program. We're Grant and Danny in Leesburg. Come see us, Green Tree Tavern, today until 6:30.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.